Hello everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm Campbell and I am so glad that you've joined us today for our career article. I have some great panelists here in the studio with us and it's really interesting. I'm from America, but I have two non-Americans here in this room. We have a British guy. Hello, Gordon.
Hello, everyone. I'm here today, and I'm excited to look at this career article.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think many of us have careers. Well, all of us probably have careers, and we want to figure out how we can have our career on track. So we hope that today's article will help you be more effective at work. Okay, and our other panelist is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, listeners. I nearly wanted you to get the listeners to guess who we are then. I don't know why I had that thought.
I feel like I should put on my British accent and then we can all be from the Commonwealth today.
No. That would be lovely.
All right. So today we are talking about keeping your career on track, and we're talking about work and how we can be more effective at work. Amanda, do you feel like you have a easy time or a hard time being productive at work?
Well, it depends on the busyness of my schedule, but I would say in general, I've become better at my time management, so I feel like it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What about you, Gordon? Gordon, you are relatively new to Studio Classroom. How long have you been teaching with us now?
That is correct. I have been here. This is my second month, so I think this is my eighth week. So I'm learning how to be productive with my time as well.
Okay. Has your time at Studio Classroom been different than other jobs you've had?
It certainly has. Here, we do a lot of different tasks throughout the day. Like right now, we're in the recording studio. We'll have other work, which is at our desk.
Right.
And sometimes we have to go out of the office, so managing the productivity throughout these different tasks can be a challenge.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we at Studio Classroom, we don't just do one job. So many of us often have to juggle many different tasks. Sometimes we're in the studio recording. Other times we're writing articles. Sometimes we have to go to schools. We have to do workshops. So we have to learn how to juggle a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So it can be hard sometimes to figure out how to organize our time and to make the most use of it, right? Mm-hmm. And add on that we have, you know, families to take care of. You know, Amanda's married and Gordon has a fiance, and I've got my family and my kids. So we have a lot of different people and a lot of different things to take care of.
We do. So time management is an important thing to focus on.
Right. And, you know, many of us probably have read books on how to manage our time and how to do well at work. And a lot of times we've been taught that we need to maintain focus, right? We need to focus on a task and just get that done. But some studies have come out recently that have shown us that maybe that is not the most effective way to get things done. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So today we are going to be discussing a certain book, and we see the title of that book at the bottom of page 10. It is a book called 2 Awesome Hours, Science-Based Strategies to Harness Your Best Time and Get Your Most Important Work Done. Sounds interesting. So let's get started with our article. We are on the left-hand side of page 10. Please join us on line 1.
Keep your career on track. Learn how to focus and improve your leadership skills. The myth of sustained attention. You're working on a report that is due Saturday at 5 p.m. Your energy has started to flag, and you're unfocused. You give yourself permission for a quick break. What's the most productive way to spend the time? Reply to a few emails? Take care of personal matters like bills or online shopping? Catch up on industry news? Stare out the window and count the number of red cars? While it may seem more productive to do anything but the last option, gazing out the window won't rob you of mental energy and may even prime your brain to write a better report. By contrast, to the extent that the other activities require your brain to process new information and engage your working memory, they tend to suck you in and wear you out, says Josh Davis, author of Two Awesome Hours, Science-Based Strategies to Harness Your Best Time and Get Your Most Important Work Done.
All right, so today we are talking about keeping your career on track, and we have two articles that we will be discussing over the next 3 days, and these articles are designed to help you to be more effective at work. And we start today's article talking about a familiar situation that we probably face often, right, Gordon?
Yeah, exactly. The article talks about beginning to flag at your work, that is to become tired or less interested. And I think when you've been working at your desk or anywhere for a number of hours, even if it's just half an hour, eventually you get a bit tired, your mind begins to go somewhere else. Maybe you're thinking about lunch or what you're doing after work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you are trying to focus, you're trying to get something done because you have an important deadline, right? But you find yourself kind of losing focus. You can't concentrate. So what do? Well, you give yourself permission for a quick break. Now, the author asks us an interesting question, right, Amanda?
Right. He asks, what's the most productive way to spend the time? So what's the most productive way to spend that break? Should you reply to a few emails or take care of personal matters like bills or online shopping? Or should you catch up on industry news? Or stare out the window and count the number of red cars.
So, interesting. What is the most productive way to spend your time? Now, before reading this article, what would you have said, Gordon?
Oh, I don't know what I would have said is the most productive, but what I definitely do is one of the first options, which is check my emails.
Mm.
That's normally my first go-to. I click on a different screen on my computer, stop the work I'm doing and say, okay, who's emailed me? What else do I have to keep in my head?
Okay, yeah. What about you, Amanda?
Yeah, I would do either one of these, the first things. I would either look at my emails or take care of personal matters or catch up on some news.
Yeah, I think for me, I would probably do similar. I would probably, you know, check Facebook for a little bit or go on email real quickly and just see, or check my phone, see if I've gotten any text messages from my wife or my friends. I find that sometimes you do that for a second and then an hour has gone by or 30 minutes has gone by. So I don't know if that is the most productive or effective way to use my time. Now, what does the author say is the best way to use our time?
Well, the author says that the last option, which is probably very surprising, to count the number of red cars outside, may actually be a useful trick to bringing yourself back on task. And it's not saying that you always have to go and count red cars,
mm-hmm.
but those kind of tasks that use less of your brain, perhaps, just something simple, may help.
Right. So just being able to kind of gaze out the window, and in Chinese we say 放空, so just kind of like just empty your mind for a few moments, and that won't rob you of your mental energy. That means it doesn't take any extra effort to do that, and it might even prime your brain to write a better report. What does it mean to prime something, Amanda?
It means to get it ready or to improve on it.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I think of priming a pump. You know, there in the old days, they used to have these pumps where the water needed to be pumped up. And so to prime, it means that you're pushing on the lever to get that pressure going and getting that water coming out. So priming your brain means allowing your brain to collect enough energy to get things done. Okay, so by contrast, to the extent that the other activities require your brain to process new information and engage your working memory, they tend to suck you in and wear you out.
So it's saying that if I check my email or look at the news, actually that's not good for my working memory?
Yeah, I think it means that it's taking a lot more energy for you. And I mean, that makes sense, right? Because when you check your email, you are taking in more information. Mm. I think, Amanda, we were talking about this a little earlier about how we are bombarded with so much information nowadays, right? Yes. And we need to spend a lot of energy to process. And a lot of times processing that information takes energy away from what we need to get done. Right.
This is something that I think I actually encounter quite often. Mm-hmm. I'll check my emails or my messages on my phone, and I'll feel more stress or more tired because it's just reminding me of other tasks I have to do.
Mm. Right. Yeah, I think that is so true, especially if I get a message from my friends or my wife asking me to get something done, or they're asking a question and it feels like, oh, I have to solve that right away. You know, especially at work, I might be working on something and then I'll get an email and then it'll be my coworker asking me for a script or asking me for something that I have to give to them. And so then I'll kind of forget what I was working on and then I'll divert my attention to getting that done. Mm-hmm. And so you end up not really getting anything done.
Right.
Right. I did some research online and I found an article summarizing this book that we're talking about, the Two Awesome Hours book. And in it, in this article, they have a quote from Davis and it says, "Efficiency is a metric for machines and computers. But science is revealing that humans are not just computers on life support. We have brains and bodies, and we operate according to biological needs. The right metric for human performance is effectiveness, not efficiency."
Nice.
Hmm. So I think that is very, very interesting, this idea of effectiveness versus efficiency, right? Effectiveness is how well are you getting things done? The tasks that you're doing, are they accomplishing anything? This is effectiveness. Now, efficiency means you're getting a lot done, right? So a lot of times when you are doing something, it might not be efficient, but you're being effective.
It makes me think of the other phrase, quality versus quantity.
Mm-hmm.
Like efficiency is the quantity, but effectiveness is the quality.
Right. So what we're trying to go for is the idea of quality, right? Being more effective. And being effective sometimes isn't necessarily being efficient, right? So it might seem like, well, taking a break and staring at the window, that's not being very efficient, but perhaps that is more effective.
Yeah, I think if you think about what's going to happen next after you've had your little break, if the next half an hour you do a lot of good work, then that shows that you're really being effective and that break wasn't wasted.
That's right. So I think it is interesting to think about your body's needs, right? And to remember that we aren't machines. You know, I think a lot of times we do treat our bodies and treat ourselves and our minds like machines, and we just kind of want to crank things out and get things done, but that's not how we're designed to work. Right?
No, I think it's interesting in that quote you mentioned, the biological need that we have. And here in the article, when Josh Davis says that these other activities tend to suck us in and wear us out, you know, that's not meeting a biological need if you're tired. Wear yourself out means that you're very tired.
That's right. So what should we do? What is the best way to handle our time when we feel that our energy is waning? Well, let's continue our article and see what Josh Davis has to say.
Let it go. When you're toiling on that report or any other demanding cognitive task, you'll be more productive by intermittently letting go of your focus, Davis says. That's because your brain is no better at sustaining its focus on a single task than it is at multitasking. It doesn't fit with how our attention systems work. Our brains weren't designed to focus, but to stay on alert for changes in our environment, Davis says. When your mind starts to drift, instead of reining it in, just daydream for a spell, or engage in some other mindless activity for a few minutes. Davis recommends looking at art or photos in your office, tidying your desk, listening to music, or playing a simple game, like counting red cars.
All right. So what is the best way to use our time? Well, the title of this section is Let It Go. And I'm sorry, but I can't ever read these three words without thinking of that song. But I won't sing it for all of you right now. I won't get it stuck in your head. But we are talking about letting it go. But what are we letting go of, Amanda?
Well, we're letting go of our focus. So here Davis is he's saying when you're toiling, which means working very hard on that report or any other demanding cognitive task, that's a pretty big word mm-hmm. that we've put in our specialized terms for the listeners to understand more. That's just with regard to thinking or reasoning. So when you're having to use your brain to do something, you'll be more productive by intermittently, mm-hmm. Not, regularly having little rests.
That's right. So periodically giving yourselves a little break, all right? And so we see the word intermittently in our vocabulary focus word. Intermittently is an adverb, and we also see the adjective there, intermittent, and it is the idea of occasionally giving yourself a break. All right. Now, why should we do that? Why is that important, Gordon?
Well, Davis says that if your brain is trying to sustain focus, that's actually not something that our brains were designed to do.
Mm.
Our brains are more designed to stay alert, so look out around about you for what's going on in your environment, in your surroundings.
Right. So what Davis is saying is that our brains aren't designed to just focus on a task and just continue to be zoned in on that one thing, but we are designed to be aware and alert of different things that might come at us, right? So we weren't designed to focus, but to stay on alert for changes in our environment. And I guess if we are allowing ourselves to kind of shift our focus a little bit, it helps us to be able to stay more awake.
I think that's really important, too. I'm just thinking of that now. You know, the difference in tasks that we have often bring about a various variety, for us to take a little bit of a break from. Mm. I'm just thinking about that. But when your mind starts to drift, instead of reining it in, we're being told to do something quite different.
That's right. So we, instead of reining it in, it just tells us to daydream for a spell or engage in some other mindless activity for a few minutes. Now, what does it mean to rein something in, Gordon?
Well, we can see it here in our vocabulary focus. It means to control an emotion or an activity and prevent it from coming too powerful. So what we have talked about, we normally want to do when we lose our focus or when our mind begins to drift is to, we want to bring it back, we want to control it and uh-huh. bring back our focus. And what we've heard is Davis saying it's actually better to do these other things, to daydream. And we have a lot of terms in this article for what Davis is trying to encourage, like mind drifting and wandering.
Uh-huh.
Another term in English we have is to space out.
Right.
There's quite a lot of terms in English we have, so it shows that humans are susceptible to doing this.
Right. And so just allowing ourselves to just kind of think of other things for a spell. I like that word, for a spell. It's quite appropriate that you two are here because it sounds very British English to me, this idea of doing something for a spell. What does that mean to do something for a spell?
It means to do it for a period of time.
Hmm.
So a spell is a period of time.
Right. So let's sit and chat for a spell, right? Or
yeah.
let's read for a spell, right? Hmm. So just a short amount of time. Or engage in some other mindless activity. So things that don't require a lot of thought. Okay. But here's the key. It says for a few minutes, right? So it doesn't mean that you kind of go off and do something else completely and never come back to what you were working on. That is not very effective either. But allowing yourself to kind of drift for a few minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that he recommends?
Well, he says to look at some art or photos in your office. So perhaps you've put up photos of your family or artwork in your office. So just take time to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I like this next one because I could do better at this. Tidying your desk.
Oh, I could definitely do better at that. Right? Or listening to music or playing a simple game like counting red cars. All right, so that goes back to the beginning of our article, and when they were asking what was the best way to spend our time, right? And just looking out the window and just kind of mindlessly counting the number of cars that pass by.
Mm.
All right, so it is very interesting to think about the best way to use our time and what we need to do when our minds start to wander. We have a little sidebar at the top of page 10. Gordon, can you read that for us? Creative problem solving.
Certainly. Mind wandering is a time of creative incubation, says Davis, citing University of California research showing that it helps people to solve the problems they had been working on before allowing their minds to drift.
Okay, so mind wandering is a type of creative incubation. That's an interesting phrase. Incubation, what does that mean?
I think that means that you, any ideas that you have or anything, something is in a place and it's being heated up and mm-hmm. it's being growing.
It's allowed to develop. When I see the word incubation, I think of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So a chicken lays an egg and then they sit on that egg to keep it warm.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
we say the eggs are incubating.
That's right.
The little chicken inside the egg is developing. It's maturing within inside the egg. And here I think what Davis is saying is that mind wandering, which we've seen as daydreaming or spacing out, gives your brain a chance to develop, like maybe even without you being aware, some creative ideas.
Mm.
Yeah, so it allows you to have a chance to kind of think about what you're trying to figure out, right? Without, because sometimes when you're so focused on a task, you can't come up with a solution. I know for myself when I'm writing or when I'm trying to get something done, if I just sit there staring at the computer screen trying to get it done, I don't usually get it done. But when I step away from the task for a few minutes and then I come back, often I have this idea, this inspiration comes up that I didn't have and I couldn't come up with before.
Mm. Yeah, it makes me think about how often the tasks that we're doing is just more information we're trying to put inside the brain rather than when you're taking time out like this to let your mind wander, it's actually allowed to think about other things,
mm-hmm.
not just taking in information. And that's the creative part that it does.
That's right. Now, in the article I was talking about earlier that I found online, it summarizes what Davis talked about, and it gives us several strategies for helping us to be able to do this mind-wandering more effectively. Strategy one is to recognize your decision points. Okay, it says, when we finish one task, it is an opportunity to be productive. If we act on autopilot, unaware of our time and our surroundings, we are likely to gravitate to tasks that are easy or urgent. The next thing you know, you've handled a bunch of emails, but an hour has ticked away and the big strategic initiative sits untended to. Davis suggests that we learn to identify decision moments and to pause and reflect on our true priorities. So taking time to realize, okay, what are those triggers that cause me to lose focus? You know, and what are those things that kind of pull my attention?
Mm.
Right. Okay, and strategy two is managing your mental energy. So for peak productivity, we must tackle our work when we have the mental energy for it. Davis suggests that we identify our two best mental hours and initially schedule our important work during that time. So I guess this is where the title of the book comes from, Two Awesome Hours. So it's not just telling you to work for 2 hours, but to identify your two best hours for work and schedule your most important work for those times. I don't know about you guys. Do you guys have certain hours of the day when you feel like you're most productive or you're most aware or alert?
See, that kind of availability to pick 2 hours makes me think back to when I was a student at university, when you really have the flexibility to work when you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew people who would say, I work best in the middle of the night, which is obviously something we can't do on a office job when you
right.
have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
What I found during that period was that my most productive time was late morning.
Mm.
So not if I went straight into work, but if I got up and maybe exercised first thing in the morning, and then before lunch, maybe there, the last 2 hours before lunch, if you take lunch at 12, 10 till 12, that was my best time.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Amanda?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out whether 10 to 12 or 2 to 4 are my best times. Both of those work for me pretty well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, it's not usually right in the early mornings, and then usually in the afternoons, those are not good times for me. You know, this is right after lunch, I'm usually very sleepy, and I tend to fall asleep at my desk, and I'm trying not to, but, you know. So my most productive would probably be, like, as Gordon was saying, late mornings and then probably in the afternoon. There's something for me, it's weird, it's like as soon as, at our job we have this, like, bell that goes off, that or music that plays that signifies the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about hearing that music, and then I'm like typing away, and I have like all my fresh ideas right as soon as the end of the day comes, which is kind of strange for me. You know, sometimes I could be sitting at my computer all day and I have nothing written, but as soon as I hear that music, then all of a sudden my productivity picks up. I don't know what it is.
You needed to get a recording of that music.
Yeah, you could play it every half an hour.
I know, right? But I think maybe this is why certain companies are going more towards flexible hours, mm-hmm. right? Allowing workers to choose their most productive times and then coming in to work at those times rather than having set work schedules.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something interesting to think about and something interesting to consider. Well, we have a lot more to talk about in this article. Please do come back and join us tomorrow. In the meantime, you can check out our QR code at the top of page 10. Can you tell us a little bit more about the QR code, Amanda?
Sure. Well, starting from this month, you will only see one QR code in your magazine, but that will link you directly to our mobile website where all the Topic Talks videos are located. So don't be afraid that there's only one QR code. That is correct, and you'll get access to all the Topic Talks videos there.
All right, sounds great. So if you want to get some more information about today's article, please do check out that QR code, and we will see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.